Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, here's our assignment from yesterday.
Okay.
A person who is nice to you but rude to the waiter is not a nice person. That's the kind of wisdom egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, really doesn't want a person to take in. But that's so judgmental. The voices chastise in their as-ever judgmental way. We're not allowed to see what is so because that's not nice. Recognizing when a person, ourselves or someone else, is caught in an ego identification, making them rude, is not judgmental any more than being able to discern the difference between a door and a window is judgmental. What we have the opportunity to do when we lose interest in ego's judgments is to disidentify from ego and choose the compassion we wish for ourselves and for all beings. Today, as you watch the conversation in conditioned mind, notice that all the judgments are coming from the voices. Ego is the judge. You're what's able to observe and ignore. Judge ego's pronouncements. Record and listen.
Ignoring judge ego. What a good time.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Susan Arnold from Florida. Can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, what a miracle. I'm out taking a walk. And I didn't know. It's a beautiful day here. I had some good medical test results, and so I am as happy as I can be.
Well, good.
Yes. And the sky, I went in, it was gray. It was gray all the day. Well, yesterday when I came out of my appointment, the sky was blue. I mean, thank you. How could I ask for more?
Yes. But, well, now that's a good question, and one that we would be well served to remind ourselves of often, right? How can I ask for more? Because ego is always willing to ask for more, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Susan, you might stop for just a minute if you can find a good spot, because it is a little tiny bit tricky to hear you as you're moving along.
Okay, I am at the door to my building. So
oh, perfect.
Walk through that, we can, and it should be fine.
We can hear you loud and clear.
Good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're good?
Now we're good.
Okay, great. Thank you. So the assignment from yesterday, I was watching the judgments and reading some of them and maybe just seeing some of the others. And then I went to, at the end of the day, I went to wash my lunch dishes that had been, you know, been there that I wash before I leave. And so I went into our little place where you wash dishes, and there was a bowl in there soaking with a fork in it. And so the voice just started, I can't believe they left their bowl here. You know, it's like on some things I'm a Nazi. I mean, it's sort of like, and that seems to be one of them that my ego just doesn't like. And, you know, it's going to go, well, I'm not going to wash the dish. Da, da, da. And so I'm sitting there looking at it, and then I went, that's my bowl. That's my fork. I had left them there.
Oh, my. Oh, you weren't doing the we are one. It was literally actually your bowl that you had left. Oh, what a lovely moment.
It really was. And so ego just sort of got quiet, and I was laughing. And then as I'm walking back into my office, another judgment came about somebody I work with. And I usually believe it. For the first time, I saw it. I said, yes, really.
Saw it for what it is.
Exactly.
Realized that you were not saying that. You were not thinking that, it was appearing in your mind, and you were watching it, listening to it.
Right. I was more listening
Isn't
to it.
Isn't that
yes.
astounding?
It's wonderful. I wish it happened
yes.
more, although.
Well, it will. It will happen more because now you're onto it. Now you realize what's happening. Before, you didn't realize what was happening. So, you know, that's where when we're in the bamboozle. But as soon as we see it, now, will you forget? Will it trip you up? Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's not the point, right? You
right.
know now. And so you can actually put up little signs, watch for the judgments, or that voice in my head is not me, or whatever helps you come back. Make recordings about this and what you've seen and what you've realized so that you keep bringing attention back to this awareness. And pretty soon, you're going to be aware of it kind of all the time.
Good. Does that happen
yeah,
all the time?
Oh, it's constant. And it is constantly not you, not me, not us.
Right.
It's a program. And
yes,
that's what you've got to see with the bowl and the fork, right? It's a program. It just kicks in. And the delightful thing is it will kick in at the wrong time in the wrong place. And we
yes,
get to see it.
I was very lucky. So I will make signs, and I'll make a recording. And one other kind of judgmental situation happened to me on Sunday that I just want to add briefly. I hope I can do it briefly. I was in a movie, and again, it's the situations where I think of myself as kind of a norm Nazi, in that if
well, don't think of yourself that way, okay?
Well,
start thinking of conditioning that way.
Conditioning,
not
yes,
your conditioning.
Exactly.
Just conditioning.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Conditioning. I got that. Is and so I was in a movie theater. There were only 7 people in there. I mean, it was
wow.
not many, many. And so I'm sitting a few rows ahead of these 3 women, and they start talking. And they're talking. And they're talking. And one time I kind of turned around and waved at them, you know, trying to, you know, that didn't really help. So
give a subtle hint.
Right, and so I finally turned around and said, would you please be quiet? Turned back around. And so they got lower, but they didn't stop talking. And so as this was the movie Victoria and Abdul. And as they were leaving, I saw that they were Indian. And their norms about movie theaters are different from ours.
I've heard that rumor.
Yeah, well, sorry, no offense to anybody, and this is all stereotypical, but I went, oh, my gosh, they didn't realize, you know, they probably thought I was really, I don't know what they thought, but as they were leaving, 2 of them went by, and then the 3rd person went by, and I looked at her, and she smiled at me, and I smiled at her, and it was really nice, and that
mm-hmm.
was before I realized, but I realized, you know, I put these rules onto everybody else, and they don't
yes.
have those rules at all.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. What an important awareness, huh? If we can approach
yeah.
every single person that we meet with that realization, they do not have the same conditioning I have. They are not living in my head. They're not even living in the same universe that I'm living in. They are lost in their own reality, just like I am most of the time. If we could really get that, what a better, kinder world we would have. It's very helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you, and happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, and to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Susan. It brings me to that quote. Go ahead, Sherry.
No. You go ahead.
It's about recontextualization. Live.
Yes.
You know, you dissolve negativity by recontextualizing it rather than by opposing it. Love looks
uh-huh.
for the goodness of life in all its expressions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes, love answers all the questions judgment
mm-hmm.
fails to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and dropping the judgment just steps us into a world of compassion.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Well, and a world of awareness that as irritating as other people are to us, we are to them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
which again, just it gets us into that we're all in this together place.
Well, and having come from the Indian subcontinent, I can tell you that we don't all have the same conditioning, because I'm as irritated when everybody starts to talk and look at their phones. So
and take cell phone calls during the movie.
That's
I know.
Right.
I've heard you express one or two opinions about those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Here we go. There's our next caller.
Thank you.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Shwenny. This is Chris in North Carolina.
Well, hello, Chris.
Good morning.
Good
morning. So, very fun. I think the part about the word just dropped out of there of discernment was really fun in this assignment. That with the window and the door, it's just so obvious that it really calls out that just the experience of discernment that mm-hmm. comparing those two, it's like, well, there isn't any judgment in that. There just isn't any. And then when
That's
it
right.
comes to something along the lines of discerning whether a person is a nice person or not a nice person, it's like there certainly can be a discernment of something like that, or that someone's identified or I'm identified, or an intuitive sensing of that. But boy, that's a place where conditioning just can't keep its hands off of it. There just has to be some kind of a judgment.
That's something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know there's something wrong here somewhere.
Yeah, it just totally scrambles that to keep a person from that place of discernment, just that there isn't any place to go with that discernment that someone's nice or not nice, right? It's just like the window and the door, it's just a discernment. So
yeah, and it is a in this moment situation, right? The quote sort of makes it sound global and permanent, absolute, right?
Mm-hmm.
The person is not nice to the waiter. They're not a nice person. And we know that there are all kinds of situations where we behave in less than completely desirable ways, ways that we wish we didn't. And so, anybody can... Yeah, imagine that. I know. It's hard to picture, but here we are. A person can be just in a really bad state and be rude to somebody, and to not notice that is just plain silly. It's as silly as deciding that person is always like that and it means something.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and plenty of those inadvertent places where, in traffic, if I'm cut off, how the conditioned response that's there. And then there's that time where I change lanes and I don't see someone.
Yeah.
And after I change the lane, it's clear.
And they're honking like crazy.
Yeah, I have completely cut them off, and it's like, oops, sorry about that. And so, both sides of that coin. Then with that, too, there does seem to be like a projection when someone is not nice to me in some way. So, being cut off in traffic is a perfect example. There's a projection at some level that they're doing it on purpose, or they're doing it to spite me or to get me. And it just seems that's what's so really incendiary about the anger that can come out of it, or the rage, or the, flying off in that direction.
Yeah, it's personal, right?
It's personal.
It's personal. And ego, of course, is a taking things personally machine.
Yeah.
It will make anything personal that it can make personal, because it's the center of everything.
Yeah.
So if anything anybody does is because of me, relates to me.
Yep. Like you say, it's a machine or a program, and that's just what it's programmed to do, is to any discernment gets put through that filter. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be great if instead of all of its reactions, it would just yell, me, me, me. And we would get to see that that's really all that's going on. It's, I need to insert myself here because you're liable to forget that I'm the most important thing in the universe.
Yeah.
So
I'll
just,
yeah.
It's sad and funny when we see it. It's funny when we're here in this position, disidentified enough to laugh at it. When we see what it does in our lives, the lives of everybody else, and to the world, not nearly as cute and funny.
No.
So we keep chipping away, huh? Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Oh, you bet. Thank you, too. Take care.
Thanks, bye-bye. Chris. The thing that that so resonated for me, Sherry, was earlier in the conversation when we looked at the quote, and the judgment is so absolute. You're not a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what we struggle with, because that message, no matter what we do, there's something wrong with me, right? That is the absolute message of the ego. And it sort of robs us of the awareness, if we're not paying a lot of attention, that that's conditioning first. It has nothing to do with me second. And if I'm not that, what is this? And that's where I want my attention, because there's a lot of kindness and love and wisdom and compassion and all of those expressions of life that are also true.
Mm-hmm.
That only
more
the ego
true,
is
we
can absolute.
Say.
Or more true, exactly.
Yeah.
And we don't have the opportunity, if we live in delusion, to be aware of that, because ego is such a collapsed perspective of what is.
Mm-hmm. Tunnel vision.
Yes. Point vision. I like the dot that you normally draw to illustrate on a white wall, that's what it is. And so if we're focused on the black dot, the white wall doesn't exist.
Yeah. The vast white wall gets lost as we focus on a tiny black dot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our next caller.
Okay.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Anne from England.
Hi, Anne.
Oh, hello.
Hello. I'm just
How
connecting to the mothership.
All right.
Good.
I was just looking at a poem from you again this morning. So you've been on my mind, in my awareness. Did you go away? Did she go away? Did everybody go away?
No, Sherry, I still show Anne as on the line, but she might have gone away.
But it got very quiet, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Anne?
Let me try again.
Okay.
Hello? Okay, maybe we'll see if she comes back.
Yeah,
I'll bring someone
else. I hope it wasn't the poem that threw her. It's a very lovely poem.
Let me try one more time, Sherry.
Okay.
Anne? Okay. Darn. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Who's this? Hi, this is Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hi. Struggling with the phone. I got it, though, finally.
All right, good.
So I just wanted to, it was wonderful to hear kind of the many ways of looking at how conditioning and the experience of conditioning kind of operates. And I just wanted to share, lately I've been having a, you know how you've talked many, many times, probably for over 30 years, about centering, dropping down. And I think the last time we talked, there was some talk about going to the hara, going down, and going to the place of absolute, the absolute beginnings, the place that is so large and so full and yet so completely empty as to be unnameable, you know, Tathagata or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go down...
The center of all being. The center of all being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So if I go down there and then just even not get all the way there, but go down to kind of centering and look up, in my experience, I get to see ego just carrying on. And it's, you know, it can be kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much drama and activity and, oh, my God, hands and face and everything are busy doing things and responding and thinking about itself and all that. And you just say, wow, you know, in some ways, just in some ways, it's kind of like the universe playing. It's like that creative source playing.
Uh-huh. Well, you make a couple of really interesting points to me, Mark. One is that when we look around at especially comedy or anything that we think is funny, what we're laughing at is ego. The only time for most people that ego is not funny is when it's mine. Because I don't know it's ego. I think it's me. And there's nothing funny about the drama in my life. In fact, it is not drama, thank you very much. This is real. This is, right? And yet we see other people go through it. You know, we watch a soap opera, and it's hysterical. It is absolutely absurd. Yeah? And so then, of course, that we, you know, Shwini can usually help us out with all of these kinds of things, because what you described is a Hindu version of what is going on here, that intelligence that animates plays and seems to have no attitudes at all about this is an okay way to play and that's not an okay way to play.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. It's just play. I mean, if the whole, just you can look at anything that's happening and it's just play. I mean, it's like that story I think you've told about, you know, two carloads of Hindu priests and their families and children and another ram into one another and everybody dies. Well,
yes.
Okay.
Although the way I usually phrase it is God is barreling down the highway drunk. And here comes God and his whole family and there's the head-on crash and
And you know, there's no promise that it won't hurt, that it won't be miserable, that I won't be sad, that I won't actually suffer. Of course, all those things are absolutely part of the play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have reports from people for whom that is not the case, that they get to a place of such identification with the animating force that there is no longer an identification with the content or the objects. And they don't experience those same emotional reactions because there's that realization, a la the little story, that actually nothing ever happens to anybody. That's the illusion that we are real and that things happen to us. If we step beyond that belief system, then, which of course. Lots of those folks advocate or encourage us to consider might be worth doing.
You know, I think it was a couple months ago, Ashwini, referred to that the default state would be closer to that state, and the conditioned state is one that we go into from time to time. I've been kind of toying with that. That is sensible.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I need to be able to. I think in the reality that I'm walking around in, it's helpful to go into a conditioned state from time to time, but it's not. It's vastly more joyful or relaxed or something if it is a choice, and then I can choose not to do that.
Yes. Yes, and I'm guessing that the reason to go into a conditioned state is an experiment.
Yeah.
Or to be sensitive to other people who might not be having the same experience. You know, if somebody is in a rage or lost in grief or just completely miserable, and you say to them, "Oh, it's all illusion." It's not right. It's not kind, and it's not helpful.
No, it doesn't get anywhere positive. No, that's right. Uh-uh. In fact, I think you said something in the last many months. You know, you're facing your partner or your coworker or whomever, and they are so into conditioning. I mean, they're inside of conditioning. They're so identified, and to say to them, "My goodness, you're really identified." Doesn't really help.
No, it does not. It does not. And of course, we would want to question where the desire to do that would come from in us.
Right.
And then I think we would see a little, there's a little glimpse of ego there on the periphery, you know, wanting to point out what a superior creature we are for being able to. To see how identified they are. Yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of missed the compassion part, sort of.
Right. Yeah. Didn't quite make it to the default. All right.
So just as a final note, I really appreciate that you have Kuan Yin or Kanon, however you call her, with you when you sit in front of a group, and I'm really focused on that lately. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, it's a good reminder, isn't it?
Yeah.
We always have the Buddha sitting in meditation, and yes, I've gone to those words because after meeting Ashwini and finding out how these names are actually pronounced, I've gone to the more simple Japanese. Because that Ashwini, would you say her name in?
It's Avalokiteshvara.
Oh my
yes.
goodness!
Yeah, yeah. So I like Kuan Yin. Of course, we don't have any Chinese-speaking people to tell us how that's supposed to sound either. But yeah, it's good. We have the Buddha sitting in meditation, and we have the goddess of compassion there reminding us that wisdom and compassion are what we're going for, that one without the other is never going to take us where we want to go. So I'm right there with you.
Well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart, both of you. Thank you so much for your continued work.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Take care. Have a happy holiday.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mark. And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. I have Anne back, and hopefully we'll get her in the queue tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. I don't know. It's probably not a holiday where Anne lives, but, hey, maybe it'll work anyway. Oh, I think we are at tea time, so that should work out. Okay, let's hope for that.
Okay, so here's our assignment for today. My mother said to me, if you become a soldier, you'll be a general. If you become a monk, you'll end up as the Pope. Instead, I became a painter and wound up as Picasso. In each moment, we have the opportunity to be what life is manifesting as us. There's an authentic what this is that gets obscured by all the conditioned nonsense that's been layered on as we've listened to ego's survival crapola. We've heard so much of it for so long that when we hear I or you or me, we believe it has something to do with an authentic being. It doesn't. Awareness practice is the process of getting past the relentless yammer in the head to recognize the unbroken, unending expression of authentic being. The ego rant is that in order to be unique and special, in order to be safe and loved, we have to listen to ego and do what it says. Mm-mm, not so. Today, when you have an urge to be you, go on ahead and be that. RL, how it feels to be a unique expression of life, and allow no opinions from the land of Crapola.
No opinions from the land of Crapola.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
This will be good.
All right. Take care, Sherry. Thanks. Take care, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.